Let's go. Let's go. Come on. That's so good. Love our bumpers. It's amazing. Well, hey, if we haven't met, my name is Jacob Alger, and I'm excited, guys, to open God's Word with you this morning. If this is your first Sunday back with us, we are in a series called Wake 2020, talking about what it looks like for you to be known and accepted, taught about Jesus, and challenged to grow in the year 2020. It's a crazy year. And so this morning, I'm really excited. We're going to talk about the second part of that and what it looks like to be taught about Jesus and why we do that here at Wake. And so to kick off our time, let me pray for us. And as you open your Bibles, and then we'll get going. Lord, thank you for this morning. God, thank you for the privilege that it is to gather together, to laugh, to have fun, to enjoy one another's company, but more importantly, to sing praises to you for who you are, that you are good. And Lord, thank you that you have revealed yourself to us through your word. And so Lord, as we open your word now, I pray that you would speak to us. I pray that your Holy Spirit would use this time in a way that only you can do. So Lord, we love you and pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hey, here's what we're going to do. To kick us off this morning, I thought we'd play a little game, okay? How many of you have ever heard somebody say something along the lines of, well, only time will tell? Anybody ever heard somebody say that? Cool. So we're going to play a little game this morning called The Test of Time, okay? I'm going to show something on the screen, and I want you to either raise your hand or keep your hand down, depending on whether or not you feel like these things have withstood the test of time. And here's what I mean by that. I'll show you something, and you have to decide, man, is that still cool? Is that still relevant? Does it still have the same value today that it had whenever it originally came out? Make sense? Okay, so first up, the first thing on the screen is Heelys, okay? Heelys. Go ahead and raise your hand if you think that Heelys have withstood the test of time. I see a few hands. Okay, let's go. Does anybody own a pair of Heelys right now? Is anybody wearing a pair of Heelys right now? Okay. Okay, so maybe it hasn't withstood the test of time, but more people than I thought. Okay, next. What about Silly Bands? Anybody remember these? Silly Bands? I see some fist bumps. Okay, hey, high and proud if you think Silly Bands have withstood the test of time. Okay, respect. Respect. I love it. Those were huge when I was in middle school. Third thing, Guitar Hero. Okay, a little bit more hands. A little bit more hands. Guitar Hero. Dude, I used to shred on that thing. It was amazing. I'm just kidding. I wasn't the best. But some of my friends, I'm like, dude, how do your fingers move like that? Like, you're going to have carpal tunnel by the time you're like 20. Crazy. Okay, Guitar Hero, what's next? Remember the Titans. Man, I better see a lot of hands go up for this. Remember the Titans. If you haven't seen this movie, you need to. It is so good. I would say this movie has no doubt withstood the test of time. Okay, next, pogo stick. Anybody still pogoing out there? Anybody? Okay, a few hands. All right, I like it. I think they have like mega pogo sticks. Like those things have evolved. It's crazy. You can bounce to the moon on that. Next, the Mona Lisa. Anybody think that painting has withstood the test of time? Look, I'm not asking if you like it or not. I'm not asking if you like it. I'm asking, hey, does this painting still have equal or more value than it originally had? Okay, a lot more hands going up. You see, it has withstood the test of time. And last thing is this. How many of you think that has withstood the test of time? I'm not trying to Jesus juke you, but I hope that you're raising your hand in truth and sincerity. Okay, you can put your hands down. Here's why I'm asking this, and here's why I do that, is because the truth is that time can tell us a lot, right? Time can tell us whether or not something is reliable, whether or not something is valuable, right? The Mona Lisa, for example, has only increased its value as time has gone on, as opposed to Guitar Hero, which, though you may love it, probably doesn't cost as much or isn't as valuable as whenever it originally came out. And so the reason I say that is because time can help us, can help you and me evaluate whether something is good or not, right? Should I buy this or should I not? Should I do this or should I not? But here's where I'm going, is that what if there were things that were much more important than just whether or not you buy this or whether or not you do that. But what if it was about how you lived your life, how you were going to treat people, how you were going to relate to people, how you were going to work? You would want to base that on something that you know has withstood the test of time and isn't going to just change. Because here's the truth. Our world is constantly changing. I literally feel like every week there's a new fashion trend, there's a new diet that people are trying, there's new movies that are out, there's all kinds of newness in our world because our world is constantly changing. And here's what all of us, myself included, are so prone to do, is that we are so prone to go all in and give our life entirely to these things, whether it's your friend group or your sports team or all of this other stuff. But here's what I want to warn you about. Is that some of those things, what we have seen in our worlds is that they can change in an instant. In an instant, they can change. And so if you have placed your life or your identity or your value and your significance in something that can change in an instant, let me tell you something. You are going to live life running on a never-ending treadmill, always searching and never finding something that is ultimately going to satisfy you. You will run and run and run and run. And this is even more true in 2020. In fact, some of you feel this very, very closely to you right now. As you're separated from friends or you're not able to play on your sports teams or the things that you are so prone to have given yourself to have been ripped out of your life. And for some of you, that has caused insecurity or fear or a lot of other different emotions. So the reason I'm saying all of this is because this is why we teach you about Jesus in Wake. Because we believe that Jesus is who he said he was in John 14:6, that he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. And we believe that that truth is the one truth that has truly withstood the test of time. It was true when Jesus said it, and it is true here today. And so that is the one thing that you can anchor your life to, is that you can follow Jesus and know with certainty that his way is the best way, that his truth is truth, and that the life that he offers to you is the good life. That is true today in 2020 and will be true forever. And so this morning, we're going to talk about those three things, is that Jesus is still the truth. Jesus is still the way. Jesus is still the truth, and Jesus is still the life. So the first thing that we're going to talk about is that Jesus is still the way. I've got a little bit of a confession for you guys, okay? Something that you should probably know about me. Whenever somebody tells me to do something, and I want to know if you can relate to this, but whenever somebody tells me to do something, there's a little something in me, you can probably call it pride, that is like, I'm not going to do that. Like, just because they said to do it. Like, if everybody's watching that movie or everybody's reading that book, there's a part of me that's like, nah, I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. Anybody relate to that? Okay? Everybody, I feel like that we kind of have that itch in us that's like, hey, you told me to do that. Nope, I'm out. And for me, whenever I was in some of y'all's grade, I was in eighth grade. I thought I was God's gift to eighth grade. And my mom, I remember there was a girl that I thought she was cute. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to ask her out. And my mom was like, Jacob, I wouldn't do that. Like, this is not wise. I love you. And I just don't think you should. Now's not the time. And I was like, told me no? Okay. And so what do I do? I'm like, forget that. And so I go, I ask her out. Praise God. She said yes. And then a week later, dumped me. And so that's that, which is tough. So here's what I tell you that. I don't even think I asked her out because I truly, like, really, really, really liked her. I think it was mainly because my mom told me not to. And I was just like, no, I'm going to do my own thing. Right? And the reason I tell you that story is you probably aren't as foolish as I was. Hopefully not. But here's why I tell you that is because we do that same thing all the time. And not just in something as silly as me in eighth grade, but even more importantly, in our walks with the Lord, is that we know the right thing to do. And so often we're like, nah, not going to do it. right? You come at a crossroads and you're like, nope, not for me, right? And so that leads you to a place where you end up hanging out with people that you know you shouldn't be hanging out with. You end up giving your life to something that you know is maybe not that important or isn't going to truly satisfy me. Maybe you start looking at things on your phone that you know you shouldn't be looking at, but you just keep doing it. Or maybe, I mean, the list can go on and on and on. And maybe it's not as severe as some of those things, making inappropriate jokes or whatever it might be for you. Maybe it's like you get done with dinner and you're like, man, I know that it would serve my family really well if I went and crushed those dishes. And then you just go and slouch on the couch and you're like, nah, not for me. And I'll tell you, I relate to that one. Okay. I was walking in my apartment the other night, and I knew, I mean, it had been a long day. I was getting home and I was like, I know there's probably going to be dishes in our sink. And so in that moment, I had awesome Jacob on one side telling me, Jacob, that is a great way that you can bless and serve your wife. It will make her very happy. It will bless her. She's probably had a really long day. And then on the other side I had scrubby Jacob that was like, bro, no way. Too tired. Out of sight, out of mind. If you don't look at them, they're not there. You don't have to do them. Okay? And so here's what happened. I walk up the stairs. I get in my apartment. I look at the sink. And so I saw those dishes. Like, make no mistake about it. I saw them. And Scrubby Jacob was just like, bro, now they're in sight. You got to put those things out of mind. And not just out of mind, but out of line of you straight to your bed. And so that's what I did. I just went, ooh, phew. Chose my own way and hit the sheets and I was out. Okay. And here's like, I know the right thing to do. Like I know what would have been more beneficial in that moment is for me to serve my wife. But for whatever reason, I'm like, no, not going to do it. Right. And so again, you're probably like, dude, you're crazy. Like you're an idiot. And you haven't learned much since eighth grade. But here's the thing is that I know that I am not alone in that. But what I also know is that whenever we choose our own way, whenever you choose your own way, it never goes well, right? Like the next morning I wake up and I'm like, still a sink full of dishes. I'm a little frustrated to start my day that way. Maybe my wife is a little bit frustrated about that. Rather than if I had done it, it would have been, man, happy Jacob in the morning, happy wife. And you know what they say, happy wife, happy life. But I didn't do it. And so my wife didn't Remy, she's very gracious. But in the end, I'm like, man, I still chose what I wanted to do and it never ends up well for me or for you. And here's why that's true. Jeremiah 6:16 says this. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look, ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. And I'm like, yo, how often is that us? How often is that you and me that we're just like, yo, I know the right thing to do and I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do my own thing. And in the end, it leaves us stressed out. It leaves us weary, tired, burdened, fearful, you name it. And the reason for that is because Psalm 16:4 says this. The sorrows of those who run after another God shall multiply. What God is saying is that, hey, if you chase your own way, if you want to do what you want to do, it's not going to go well for you. I have revealed to you the good way that you might walk in it. And whenever you leave it, it is not going to go well. And some of you might have experienced that in some really hard, really difficult ways. I surely have. Whenever I've chosen my own way and my sorrows have multiplied. It is true. That will happen. Your leaders can probably testify to that. And so what is the thing that we ought to do? Well, we should walk in the good way. But here's what we all know. You know the good way. The good way has been abundantly revealed to us. In fact, Jesus himself, he would constantly tell his disciples, hey, follow me, walk with me, do what I do. I am setting an example for you to follow, not just to listen to what I'm telling you, but to do what I do, to watch the way that I live so that you ought to follow me, right? And not only that, but then for us, how about the fact that he would preserve a book for over 2,000 years so that you and I can have it, read it, understand it, and then live it out and experience His goodness, His joy, His peace, His life that He offers us. It's really not that complicated if you think about it, right? It's been abundantly revealed to us, but here's my challenge for you this morning, is that to follow in Jesus' way means more than merely knowing about Him. I'll say that again. To follow Jesus means more than merely knowing about Him. Some of you have been coming to church your whole life. You've gone to small group. You've read God's word and you know a lot. But my challenge to you is that following means more than simply knowing. Following involves action. Following involves obedience. Following means the way of your life changes. How you live, how you speak, how you relate. All of those things change as you walk with Jesus. And if you don't experience goodness in your life, my question for you might be, man, are you walking truly in the good way? Or are there areas of your life where you might be choosing your own way and your sorrows are multiplying because of it, right? And so if Jesus is still the truth in 2020, we must follow Him. We must follow Him. My second point this morning is that Jesus is still the truth. Have any of you ever played two truths and a lie? Anybody? Okay. I want to know who feels super confident that you can identify a lie about me. Anybody? Anybody? Let's go right here. Snack Shack shirt. I love it. I love it. What's your name?
Colin.
All right, Colin. Colin, welcome. My name is Jacob Alger, and I'm going to tell you three things, two of which are a lie or true, one of which is a lie, okay? Make sense. You've played this before. All right. Let's go. First thing on here. I was born in Austin, Texas. Okay. I was born in Austin, Texas. Number two, I have three brothers. I have three brothers. Some of you might know or not know. I don't know. And then thirdly, I've been to space. Okay. Let's think here. Two of those are true. One of them is a lie. What do you think it is? I've been to space. I actually have been to space. The lie is I was born in Austin. I was actually born in Houston. I wasn't born in space. I've been to space. I really have. Do you believe that?
No.
Or do you think that's a lie?
Yeah.
Does anybody believe me? Okay, a few people. You don't think I've... Here's the thing. I genuinely believe that I've been to space. I really have. Like, I believe that I've been to space. Totally serious. I really believe it. I wasn't abducted. I've been to space, guys. Okay, can I convince you at all that I've been to space?
I don't know.
You don't know. Okay, hey, you can take a seat. Thanks for playing, Colin. Here's the thing, guys. How many of you think that I haven't been to space? Okay, good. You're not crazy. That's good. You probably are like Jacob. I know that you haven't been to space. Like, you were not with my man Neil Armstrong on the moon. You weren't on the lunar landing, which Rebe thinks is fake. But here's the thing. You are like, bro, you are crazy. Like, you can't just say, no, like, I believe that I've been to space. Like, that doesn't mean that you've actually been to space. You are nuts. And here's what I will tell you. That is true. Okay, let me be abundantly clear. I've not been to space. Okay, but if I told you, no, I really believe that I've been to space, your response is like, dude, you're nuts. Like, no, you haven't. That's not true. And you can't just say that you believe, and so that makes it true. And so here's why I say that, is because our world is doing the same thing all the time. Is that people will say things like, hey, your truth is your truth, but my truth is my truth. And what's true for you isn't true for me. And hey, you can believe what you want to believe, and I'm going to believe what I want to believe. And I want to tell you guys this morning is that that is a really dangerous place to be. Whenever people all the time are creating their own truth. And let me be abundantly clear, our world right now, especially in 2020, opposes truth. Like you would think with something like a virus that is scientific, that is observable, that you can test and you can do all of these things, you would think that it's important to share the truth about something like that. And yet you can turn on your TV and you can hear one thing from over here that they're claiming is true, and you can hear an entirely different thing on the other side that they're also claiming is true. And the thing is, it's not just about that with this virus. In 2020, people are claiming all kinds of stuff. What they believe about God, when life begins, what their gender is, science as a whole, and it could go on and on and on. Our world is increasingly becoming opposed to the truth from God's word, and they want to sell it to you. And all of us are prone to buy it. And so the reason that we're talking this morning is because Jesus is still the truth. He is still the truth. And 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 5 warns us, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions." Itching ears, meaning that they will just gather people that will tell them what they want to hear. And they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. But as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. And so here's what some of you might be thinking. Okay, well, Jesus said, "I'm the truth." That's a pretty bold statement to make. Like if I just walked around and I was like, "Yo, I'm the truth, follow me." Like you'd be like, "What? That's crazy." And what some of you are probably thinking, that if I were to claim to have gone to space, you're like, "Prove it," right? That's the natural thing to say. Show me some pictures. Show me proof. Like, prove what you're saying is true. And so here's what I want to encourage you and remind you of this morning, is that whenever Jesus says that he's the truth, he has proven that truth, okay? Just one example. You can go on our YouTube page. And we did some videos this summer where we asked some hard questions, one of which is, how do we know the Bible is true? But this morning, I want to talk specifically about how do we know that Jesus is the truth, and one of the reasons that we can trust that. And it's because he was publicly crucified, right? Meaning a lot of people saw this dude die. It was a public crucifixion. He was publicly buried, meaning that a lot of people saw him buried. A lot of people saw this dude go into the tomb. And here's the crazy thing, is that even though many people saw him die, saw him be buried, there is today an empty tomb, still an empty tomb. There has never been the body of Jesus found. Why? Because he resurrected. He came back to life because he was the Son of God. He was God, right? And so his resurrection, him doing what nobody else can do. We die, we're going to get buried, and one day we'll rise with Jesus whenever he comes back. But he came back. And not only did he just come back, but he revealed himself to over 500 different people. And those 500 different people, their lives radically changed. And then other people's lives radically changed. And on and on and on. So much that our world hinges upon the life of one person, and that is Jesus Christ. That is crazy. And he proved that he was the truth. That is just one reason that you can trust that he's the truth. And there's multiple reasons. In fact, there's a lot of reasons sitting here in this room this morning that you can trust that he's the truth. I'd love to share with you how he's changed my life, Sean's life, Rebe's life, your leaders' lives, hopefully your lives, and that you have seen that he is true. And so if Jesus is still the truth in 2020, I'd encourage you, one, test it for yourself. And then as you test it and you find it to be true, trust him. Trust it. Okay. So thirdly, the last point this morning is that Jesus is still the life. Y'all want to know something that is a huge pet peeve of mine? I'm sure many of you can relate. But whenever I have something like either in my teeth or I got like a booger in my nose or like something like that, or there's something on my shirt and I'm walking around and nobody tells me. Anybody relate to that? Like, that is a pet peeve of mine. I'm like, bro, help a brother out. Like, people are going to be just pointing at me, laughing at me, roasting me, making a joke, and I could have been spared all of that if you would have just told me. Okay? So look, I know it's awkward if you got to tell somebody, yo, like, you got, like, but I'm telling you, do it, please. You're helping everybody. And I hope that you'd want them to do that for yourself. It is loving to point something out to somebody, right? And magnify this on a much larger scale. Let's say I was a doctor and you came into my office and I did some scans and found out that you had cancer, right? And what if I thought to myself, not going to tell him? Like, no way. Can't tell him. You would look at me and be like, bro, what is wrong with you? Like, you are a doctor. This is your job. You are supposed to find problems and point them to solutions. And if you don't give this man the solution, there's a pretty high chance that he might die. And so why in the world would you not tell him that he has a problem and that you can offer a solution, right? Anybody think that's not the logical thing to do? Like, that makes the most sense to do, right? And here's why I say that is because Jesus came to do much of the same thing for each of us. He came to point out the reality that all of us have a problem. And he didn't just come to point out our problem, but he came to offer us a solution. And let me be clear on that first part of that, is that he came to make it very clear that apart from him, we've got a really big problem. And that problem is sin. And apart from him, our sin is deserving of death. Not just a physical death, but a second death in which we will spend eternity forever and ever and ever apart from him in hell. If we've not trusted in Christ, that we will spend forever in a place that is void of all of God's goodness, that's void of all of his mercy, void of all of his grace, where we will suffer and suffer and suffer for eternity. He came to point out that all of us have a problem. That problem is sin, and what that sin deserves is wrath. But more than that, Jesus came to offer us a solution, to offer us life. And I want to read a very familiar passage for probably a lot of you. Maybe it's one of the first Bible passages that you've read in your life, in John 3, verses 16 through 18. It says this. This is the word of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. It's a great promise. But whoever does not believe is condemned already. That is a great warning, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And so what I want to make abundantly clear to every one of you here in this morning is that God loves you. God loves you enough to send his one and only Son. His most prized, I mean, imagine that. I have one son, and I'm like, if I sent him to die, I can't even fathom that. But God would send his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die on your behalf, to pay for your sin that caused and is deserving of wrath. He would take it on himself so that if you would believe in him, you could have eternal life. Forever spent in eternity with him, experiencing joy and goodness and peace and things that we can't even quite frankly fathom here on this earth. And so the option seems obvious: eternity in hell or eternity in heaven. And as obvious as that seems, Jesus has made it abundantly clear that he is the way. He is the truth and he is the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. And so if Jesus is the life, we must believe in him. Romans 10, 9 through 10 tells us, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Guys, that is the good news, is that you are offered life. And I want to tell you something. That is not just eternal life, but it is fullness of life here and now. It is fullness of life. Jesus says in John 10:10 that he has come that we might have life and have it to the full. And does that mean that life is never going to have any problems? Absolutely not. We are still going to have problems in this life. But what it does mean is that our joy, our peace, our confidence, our trust in him cannot be shaken by anything else in this world, because we know we have a hope to look forward to, and we know that we have a purpose to live with here and now. Jesus is the life. And I can tell you, it is the good life. It is the good life to walk with him. And so in summary, in 2020, Jesus is still the way and we must follow him. Jesus is still the truth and we must trust him. And Jesus is still the life. And we must believe in him. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you for the truth of your word. God, thank you that it is relevant and applicable to our lives, even still today in 2020. Lord, thank you that you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. And Lord, we know that none of us can come to the Father except through you. And so thank you for laying down your life, proving your love for us, that we might experience reconciliation with you and life to come, and both here and now. Lord, thank you, Father, for the gift of your Son. Lord, I pray if there's anybody in here that hasn't believed in you, Lord, that they would ask questions, they would talk to their leaders, they would talk to us about what it looks like to have a relationship with you, and pray that you would do something in their life that is only of you. Would you change our lives for forever, that we may live faithfully here on this earth. Lord, we love you. We pray that all in the name of Jesus. Amen.